Praise the Lord. Without him, where would you be tonight? I'd hate to think where I might be. Probably dead and burning in hell without Jesus. If you didn't know him tonight, that's where some of you would be. You might not be here. You might not be alive. Amen. But he's got a lot of grace. Amen. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. I'm glad tonight that Jesus has never left me. In the good times, in the bad times, up, down, in, out, wishy-washy, messed up, tossed to and fro. I'm glad the Lord don't ever walk away from people. If anybody ever walks away, it's us. The Lord don't ever walk away from anybody. But you know what? When you walk away, if you turn around and walk back, he walks right back to you. He don't walk away from you. He walked right back to you, just like he did to the prodigal son. When he saw him a long ways off, the Bible said he went toward him. Some of us wouldn't do that. You won't go towards some people, but the Lord will. The Lord, there's some people that some people don't want to go, but the Lord will always go to those people. And I tell you, when he does it right. Amen. It's good to see everybody tonight. We're going to take up the offering. And for those watching online, praise the Lord. We're glad you're watching. And hope that you will be blessed by the service tonight. And give tonight if you have to give. Watching online, those here, thank you to those that have been helping us to do what we do here. For people that have been giving for the building fund, keep giving, keep praying, amen, and keep coming to church. Don't quit coming to church, amen. Don't start slacking now. We're almost going to finish this race, amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, tonight. We ask you that you have your way in the service tonight. I pray that you bless the offering, bless the givers tonight, bless those that came tonight. Lord, touch every one of us, bless us, and speak to our heart in Jesus' name.
Why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. And out on the waters, storms raging high. The waters around them were troubled that night. And fear filled their hearts, and they thought they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And he spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters, they obeyed his will. And he calmed their storm, just like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how he walked with them. He brought light to their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps lead in mine and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death is so nigh, I'll just search for the Master. He said he'd be there on time. And when I'm in trouble or my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. Why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart and he hears when we cry. You can call on his name till your storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus always stays always near? He lives in my heart and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by and reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy, oh, to hear your heart's cry. Oh, he is passing by this moment. Your need he will supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Oh, and all my hope is in Jesus. Oh, thank God that my yesterday is gone, and all my sins, they are forgiven, 'cause I've been washed, I've been washed in his blood. See, I'm no stranger to prison. Yes, I've worn those shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back. To freedom, I'm walking that straight and narrow way, and I've been filled with his spirit. Oh, I'm born by his blood.
Praise the Lord. Are you washed in the blood? If you ain't washed in the blood, you're dirty. Amen. The blood cleans us. The blood of Jesus cleanses, the Bible says, from all of our sins. The world don't understand that. Carnal-minded people don't understand that, but spiritually-minded people understand it. Amen. We're going back to Romans chapter 5 tonight. Romans chapter 5. We've been ministering and studying on the subject of justification by faith. Chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." What she just saying. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood," I've been washed in his blood, "we shall be saved from wrath," escaping wrath, "through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask for your help tonight, for your anointing, for your strength, your power. Lord, to open your word up to those here tonight, to those through the camera that are watching, those that will watch. I pray that you enlighten the people, Lord, all of us, Lord, to your word, that you make it alive to us, make it real. Because your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The Bible says it is alive. Let this living word get inside of our souls and touch us and change us and reveal things to us that only can be revealed by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray tonight that we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, that we listen to what the Spirit of God, not what we think, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. I pray that you enlighten people, that you bless people, that you touch them, and let your anointing be upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we got through the first four verses in chapter 5 and talked about all the benefits that we have since now that we've been justified or made right with God or declared righteous. That's really what the word justified means. It means to be made righteous or to be right with God, to be in a right standing with God. There's nothing really hard about understanding that, being made right with God. It simply happens when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart by faith, according to what the Bible says, not what man says, what the Bible says. I am what this says I am. You are what this says, and what you'll have to learn to do as a Christian is to tune out everything else and listen to what the Word of God says about your standing in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know this, you're going to be wishy-washy. You're going to be tossed to and fro. You're not. When you fail and you get hit with condemnation, you ain't going to understand how to get out of it if you don't know this. So it ain't what I think I am, it's what God says that we are that matters. So we have to see things as God says that they are. And in chapter 5, Paul told us that we are now justified by faith, and some of the benefits, I'm just going to run back through them to move ahead. He said we have peace with God. There's that peace with God. That's the peace that you have. Remember, before, we'll get into this, before you got saved, before you came to Jesus, you were not God's friend. There was no peace between you and God, and I'll prove it later on in some more scriptures. The Bible says we were enemies of God.
No matter how good we thought we were, you were not, you were an enemy of God. If you didn't know Jesus, you didn't live for him, you were not God's friend. You were an enemy of God. And so when you come to Jesus, you accept him into your heart, the first thing that happens is peace between the sinner and God is now made. You're not a sinner any longer. You're now declared righteous in Christ. God sees you as pure and holy and clean because you came to his Son. And when that happens, you have peace with God for the first time. I'll never forget the peace that we started experiencing after we got saved. I'll never forget when I was sitting at that table at times reading that Bible. My friend gave me tears streaming down my face, feeling the love of God, the peace of God, thinking, Lord, why did you do this for me? Just feeling clean, feeling changed, feeling different. For the first time in my life, I had peace with God. And I knew it, even though I didn't understand these things. I knew I had peace with God. I could go to sleep at night then and sleep better. Didn't have to worry about hell anymore. Didn't have to worry about all the stuff that was going on because peace came. Peace between, this is what the world is missing, is peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace in, you're not really going to have any other, the right kind of peace. God's peace comes first. Then you can learn to have peace with other people, peace with men. If you don't have God's peace, you can't be a friend of anybody. Came home and be a friend of your husband or your wife or your children or your neighbor. But when you experience God's peace, it puts you at peace with other people too. We have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. What does that mean? When the Bible tells us or speaks or uses that term through our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always referring to what Jesus did at the cross. It's not just Jesus, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. I made a statement here Sunday, and I'm going to clear it up a little bit because I think I probably made some people mad, but I still stand behind it because I know what the Lord showed me. I said half the people in church are missing this on sanctification. How do I know that? Because I'm the pastor. Because I see people all the time. I know your mannerisms. I know how, when you come to church. I see how you act. I can tell just by looking at people at times whether they have the victory or whether they're living in defeat. I can tell. My wife and I have been doing this long enough. It's not that we go around looking for it, but you just see it. And what the point is, it's not to degrade people. It's to say this. If you don't understand this, you won't be able to live this outside these doors. You won't know, you won't be able to climb your way out of failure. You won't get out of that dark hole. You won't be able, you got to understand this. It's more than just reading a few scriptures today. You got to understand this is the process whereby God gives you peace with him, washes you and cleanses you of all your sins through what Jesus did at the cross. And people say, well, I know what Jesus did. Okay, knowing it is one thing, but living it, experiencing it, is another. So we have to know it. We have to know it by faith. We have to put it into practice in our heart and life. You know, what do you do when you fail? What do you do when you sin? Not if you sin. What do you do when you sin and God convicts you and you know you sin? What do you do with it? Well, I just confess it to God. Good. That's good because that's what you're supposed to do. But where do you take it? The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us. Who cleanses? The blood. What cleanses? The blood. From all of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to forgive us. And he doesn't just want to forgive us, he wants to restore us and he wants to bring us out of those failures. He don't want his people living in those failures on a consistent basis. That's not life more abundantly. And Jesus said he died to give it to us, more abundant life. So my statement, it wasn't to demean people, it's to make people think, to think about, listen, what you believe, not while you're sitting here, when you leave. What you believe When you go home tonight and you lay down to go to sleep, what's in your heart? When you get up in the morning, what's in your heart? What is your faith in? What is your trust in? Because if it's in you, if it's in what you do, what you don't do, you're living under law and you're putting a damper on your Christian life. It's just the way it is. It's the truth. God don't want his people ignorant. He don't. And there's really no excuse for anybody in this church to claim any ignorance concerning the message of the cross for sanctification. And another reason I say this is because y'all, most of y'all watch SBN. You have, used to. And you've heard the message over and over and over and over. You have an expositor study Bible. And it is laid out over and over and over and over. But you need to be careful that you don't come to the place to where you say, well, I don't need that. He just talks too much about the cross stuff. The cross is a way of life. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. You do it by faith and follow me. Because this is where life comes from. This is where freedom from sin comes from. This is where restoration comes from. The peace of God comes, and it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go into verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith, it's by faith, into this grace. And another one of the benefits is that we stand. Here we go, wherein we stand, praise God. I can stand tonight. I can stand fast in the faith. I can stand strong in the Lord. I don't have to be moved to the left, moved to the right. I don't have to be wishy-washy, in and out, up and down. I can be stable. We can stand only in Christ. And then he said, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then he talks about verse 3, tribulations. Here's some more benefits. You know what? When you go through tribulation, guess what else you got? Here's what you got to know. Knowing this, he said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What's tribulations? It's problems. It's persecution. It's issues. Darts being thrown at you from the devil. Problems on the job. Problems here. Problems there. Tribulations. You know, things that you just don't have any control over. And things you can't work your way out of. They just come out of nowhere. Well, guess what? You know, you need to know this, that tribulation, God allows it to work patience in you. He lets it come. Sometimes he sends it because we ain't where we need to be. And he says, I got to move this process a little bit faster because you ain't moving. Because you ain't cooperating the way I want you to. So I'm just going to have to pull the rug here and there and manipulate, let a few things happen to get you to where you'll get a little more serious, to get you to where you'll do a little more thinking, to get you where you'll start crying out more. And understand that these tribulations, no, you need to know that they work patience. The word patience is perseverance. Remember last week we talked about that? Endurance. How many Christians are enduring? How many are enduring the attacks of the devil? How many are enduring the problems, the trials, the things, bearing up under them and walking through them by the power of the Spirit? Are we weakening? Are we failing? Are we falling down over and over with the same old problem? That ain't more life more abundantly. He said the tribulations work patience. They help us to learn how to endure. They help us to learn how to trust God more, how to look to Jesus more. If we run from the problem, if we run from the tribulation, it's going to come back around. Some of you need to quit running. It's coming back one way or the other. You're not going to get around this process. I learned this years ago when I finally figured out, you know, that I was stumbling around with the same thing. It kept coming back in different ways. I said, okay, Lord, what do I need to do? What's going on? And some of y'all looking at me like, well, I ain't never been there. You'll learn one way or the other. God will get you there. Sometimes when I talk about myself, I get looks from people. They look at me like, yeah, you poor thing, you. All about the pastor, ain't it? You don't ever have problems, do you? You don't have no issues? Surely not. You don't have anything that you have to endure up under. And I remember when I started hearing Brother Swagger, listening to them and reading commentaries, learning these things. Hey, Thomas, God is trying to do something in you through your ex. God is trying to do something in you through the situation with your other children. God, come on somebody, is trying to do something in you through the problems in the family, the problems in this. And I finally realized, you know what? Okay, Lord, I'm understanding now. So I've got to learn how to trust you through this, endure under this, and not turn away from my faith in Jesus Christ. That's what you want, Lord. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want, help me to do that and to learn how to go through these things. So when things come, I don't say, oh, go away. I don't like it, but I don't say, oh, I wish it'd go away. God, why did you let this happen? And find myself blaming God. Or blaming the devil. Sometimes the devil's behind it. But sometimes you need to recognize that it ain't always the devil. The Lord is causing some things to happen to change us, to teach us, to grow us inside, to teach us spiritually. And we, in those tribulations, they're meant to work patience. And patience, he said, it works experience. Experience is a proof of genuineness. Last week we talked about that. Job. What happened with Brother Job? God proved to the devil and everybody around him of that day and time, he doesn't love me for stuff. And he's got a lot of stuff. The richest man in the world of his time. And he lost every bit of it. And God said, I'm going to show you, devil, he don't love me for stuff. I put a hedge around about him. He's my child. And I'm going to let you attack him. I'm going to let you attack his body. I'm going to let you hit his health. I'm going to let you take his finances. I'm going to let you hit his wife. I'm going to let you hit his children. I'm going to let you hit his family. And I'm going to show you what he'll do. And Job never cursed God, never spoke falsely of the Lord, but he consecrated himself in the worst trial of his life, and none of us here can ever imagine what it was like. You think some of the things we go through is bad? What if you had 10 children, and in just a matter of a few days, they were all dead? If you had livestock, fields full of livestock, and they're dead, sheep, they're gone. Storms come, problems come, and everything you have is gone. But see, you can find out where a person truly stands with the Lord when God starts hitting the stuff. The stuff. Stuff's not a sin. Job had it. But God proved to the devil that he didn't love him just for stuff. Job consecrated himself. God proved the genuineness of Job's faith. That's experience. You see, we've got to have experience with this message of the cross. And experience brings hope. What's that? That's hope. What's hope? It means you're holding on. You believe God. You have even though things don't look so good outwardly, deep down inside, you have this feeling that everything somehow is going to be all right. Come on, somebody. You don't walk around every day, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it all the time. No, you got a hope because your hope is in the Lord. You know he's going to make a way. You don't know how. That's one of our problems. Quit trying to figure out how because you can't. Experience brings hope. What's the hope? It's the desire of something good, expecting to obtain it. I'm expecting some good things from God. I'm desiring some good things from the Lord in my life, our life, the church, ministry, work. I'm expecting God, desiring some good things, and I'm expecting God to do it. Because God said he's going to do it. And when he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. He said 25 years ago, I'm going to use you to bring thousands of souls into my kingdom. You know what? That hope is still here. That hope, that expectation is still here. I'm the one that has to hold on to that. We're the ones that have to believe God, because Satan has done everything within those 25 years to try to wreck that, to try to stop that, but it's still here today. And one thing I've learned is don't be trying to figure out how things are going to happen. You can't do it. Forget it. Don't even try it. On the job, in your home, in your church, in the ministry, don't even try it. You can't. God will never do things the way you think they need to be done. It never happens. It don't. But he'll confound us at times with the way he does things. He said the hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Let me move ahead to verse 6 to where we started. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, that word without strength there, you know what that means? It means to be powerless and weak. We might have thought we were really something when we were lost. You might have really had a chip on your shoulder, pride full, heart full of pride. But the truth is, you were powerless. Worried ourselves to death about this, worried about that, don't know what's coming the next day. You have no hope, you're lost, life is just miserable, it's dark, you are powerless, you're without strength when you don't know the Lord. But in due time, Jesus Christ died for who? The ungodly. Who's that? Us. The weak, the powerless, the lost. This is all tying again together back to who? Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. This is what Paul's emphasis is here. This is what the focus is upon. All these things that we have, the benefits, they come through Jesus and what he did. He said in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. That word scarcely speaks, the definition means with difficulty. So what this is saying is, for with difficulty, for a righteous man will one die. How many human beings on the face of this earth do you know will die, give up their life for somebody that's good? Well, how many do you know that would give up their life for people that are bad? Would you put your son on a cross, your daughter? Would you sacrifice your child for a wicked man, homeless man living down here on the street, lost without God? Nope. The point is that man, no matter the most he can do, yes, he can make some sacrifices. There are some. We have the military, men that will lay down their lives for their country. That's for the country, other human, for us to have freedom and to have rights. But what we're talking about is not in the natural, we're talking about in the spiritual. We're talking about a spiritual application here, because as much as they'll lay down their life for their country, for us to have freedom, Jesus laid down his life to free us from sin, to wash us in his blood. And look, and he didn't do it just for a righteous man or another man over here. He did it for everybody. He did it for who? The ungodly. Who's the ungodly? The lost. Us. Before you got saved. That's who. I mean, I think about sometimes, I didn't know any of this before I got saved. Yeah, I've been witness to. I knew about God. I knew it all. I've heard that stuff. My mother used to talk to us about that. But I didn't know anything about this cross stuff, the blood and all this. I didn't ever hear any of that. And I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. But I didn't want to be there. I was just there because I got put on a church bus. Me and my little brother just sit and kick one another and fight the whole time. during church because we didn't want to be there. Had no interest whatsoever. And I think back sometimes and I think about, you know, all the things that I did. I don't go back and dwell on all the things I did. I don't do that. I don't go back in detail this and that. Man, there's so much stuff I ain't even thinking about trying to do that. There's so much stuff I did wrong. How about you? So much stuff we all. Look, some of them got some skeletons in some closets. Ain't no skeletons in this closet. They're all gone. They're taken care of. Everything this old boy ever did has been washed in the blood. It's cleansed. It's over with. It's gone. And if God don't hold it over my head, I sure ain't going to let you hold it over my head. There's nothing hid. Everything is open before God. Everything we've ever done wrong before salvation and after salvation. It don't matter. Jesus hung on a cross and did it for everybody. He did it for the homeless. He did it for the helpless. He did it for the drug addict. He did it for the alcoholic. He did it for the pervert. He did it for those steeped in witchcraft. He did it for the transgenders. He did it for lesbians. The filth of the filth. Jesus died for the ungodly in due time. So you see, man can only do so much. But I can't save you. I can't change you. I can't lay down my life for you to fix your problems. That's the problem with too many people looking to man instead of looking to God. He's the one we go to. He said in verse 8, but God commended his love toward us. Man, this is one of our memory verses I remember years ago. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. People don't like to be called that today. Sinners. People living in sin. Living a lifestyle in opposition to God Almighty. We all did it. He commended his love even while we were yet sinners. What did God do? Commended his love. That means he proved it by a demonstration. God didn't just say he's going to do something and not do it. He did it. He proved his word by how? Sending his son in the flesh, born of a woman, never sinned, spotless, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, the Bible says. To go to the cross to be the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. So every human being on the face of this earth, no matter who they are or where they are, if they'll come to Jesus Christ and repent of their sins, call on him by faith and let him come into their heart, he will save them instantly. Amen. Instantly. And you know what? They'll feel a difference. You will know there's a change. The Lord ain't never saved one person that I know of that didn't know that something happened. You know that you know that you know. It's been 25 years ago for me, but I can tell you today, just like it's like it was yesterday, I know that I know that I know. It was so overwhelming, so overpowering, the liberty, the freedom, the weight off of these shoulders in the spiritual realm that I knew things had been made right with God in an instant. I didn't know anything about any of this. None of us did. Nobody sat down and explained anything to me an hour after this happened. But the Holy Spirit started working right then. And started cleaning us up and changing us. Christ, while we were sinners, died for us. And he did it. I got to back up just a second because I skipped it. Verse 6 says, in due time. You know what that means? At the appointed time. God has an appointed time for everything. And God's time frame is not man's time frame. Whatever you're asking God to do and believing for God to do, remember this. It won't happen on your time frame. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time, his time. And at the right time, he sent Jesus to fulfill the law, to break the power of Satan, and to save us and to justify us, to make us righteous with God. He did it in due time. Christ died for us. And you hear people at times use that term, Christ died for me, but it's just nonchalant. It's just thrown around. If you really understood what you're saying, if you're really experiencing what the word says, it'll be alive. It'll be real. This will be demonstrated in our life. Verse 9 says, much more than being now justified by his what? Blood. What's that speak of? Where did he shed his blood? Calvary. Where was he sacrificed? At the cross. Not a piece of wood. What he did there. We are now justified. We're made righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Well, I know all that. Okay, well, if we know it, we need to live it. Because the same process of justification is the same in sanctification. It doesn't change. God doesn't say, okay, now you've come to salvation, so I'm going to change my method for you, and I'll change you different than everybody else. I'll follow another way for you and let you do it a different way. No, it's one way. Faith. Faith in the blood. Every single day, every morning, every day. How much do you think about Jesus? How much during your day, no matter where you are, what you're doing, how much do you, when you get up in the morning, you're going about your day, you're doing, how much do you think about Jesus Christ? How much is he on your mind, and how much is he in your heart? How much is he in your thoughts? How much do you acknowledge God on a daily basis? That'll tell us something. Too many people are only acknowledging him on Sunday and Wednesday. And that ain't what the Lord wants. It's a daily thing. It's a daily surrendering of yourself. Lord, not my will, your will be done. You want to be a good husband? Here it is. You want to be a good wife? You want to be a good boss? You want to be good on your job? You want to be, here it is. Deny yourself. Don't try to live this Christian life by your means. Live it according to God's word. Faith. Trust in Jesus Christ every single day. Start your day out with, Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you that I am saved. I thank you that I'm on my way to heaven. I'll never forget this. It still comes to me in the early days, every morning, many mornings when I'd get up to pray. I can still remember this coming to me every time I'd say, Lord, one of the first things I'd say, Lord, I thank you for another day to live for you. Every day. That would come every day, Lord, another day and another day. And I don't know how many days that's been for 25 years, but that's a lot of days. I'm not saying I do it every single day, but I do it a lot of times. And you need to thank God for what he's done for you in sending his son Jesus to die for you. Because this is the key to life. This is what keeps Mr. Jones right with Miss Jones. Right? So we're justified being, look, he said, being now justified by his blood. Not tomorrow, now. Right now, we are justified. We are declared righteous before God. There's nothing in the way. Because Jesus Christ died for us, and we believe it, and we put it into action. He said, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know, Miss Grace preached a message on the wrath of God. It's right. But you know what? I'm going to go back to this again. We're not under the wrath of God. I'm not under the wrath of God. Scripture plainly says that we're saved from the wrath of God. If I'm under God's wrath, why be saved? If I'm under God's wrath, then what? Why live for the Lord? If God's just going to be mean to me and punish me all the time. No, that ain't how God works for his children. Listen, the world is going to face the wrath of God one day. If people who ignore God's word, they will face the wrath of God. And we're seeing God's wrath in some ways manifested. But like, you know, she said, we ain't never really seen God's wrath. We understand man's wrath and man's anger, but God's anger is different than man's. And God puts up with a whole lot more than man puts up with. The scripture said he is slow to anger. Boy, I'm glad he is. Because we ain't. He's slow. He's much more compassionate. That means he can put up with more from you than anybody else. We'll be saved. We shall be saved from wrath through him. That goes back again to that peace with God when you get saved. Remember, before you didn't have peace. Wrath was, in a sense, being poured out on you in a sense. And that wrath really is in the form of sin. Sin, being dominated by sin, is wrath enough. Living in darkness, bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by the devil. I mean, I'm going to tell you, that is bad enough. That is wrath. It's a lifestyle that it ain't no fun. Living like that, going to bed, not knowing what's going to happen the next day, and worried about this, and you're scared about this, and you're worried. And the world out there, that's where they're at. So in a sense, they're experiencing some wrath, but they have not experienced the wrath of God like what is going to come on this earth one day. It's coming. But if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you can escape that wrath. You live for Jesus, wrath won't be an issue for you. He said in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, here's my point, we were enemies. We got people today that says everybody's a friend of God. That ain't what the scripture says. We were enemies. Tristan, you remember that day you come up here when the Holy Ghost hit you? And you broke down and you gave your heart to the Lord. Remember that change? Remember that peace? You could see it all over you. Remember what you felt in your heart? All of a sudden, everything changed. You know what happened? God put you at peace with him. Peace. No longer under wrath. We were, before that, enemy. Enemy of God. Enemy of the word. Every one of us before that. But when we come to Jesus, accept him into our heart, the wrath part is no longer an issue for us because we have been reconciled. He said we were reconciled to God. Look, this is as plain as you can get. With people that's got a problem with the cross or saying, I don't believe this or I don't believe that, what y'all talking about all the time, I don't get none of that. Well, let me see if you get this. By the death of his son, how were we made right with God? How were we justified and cleansed from all of our sins? By the death of his son. I'm glad of that tonight. I thank God for that because that's good news for us. It ain't good news for the world. It ain't good news for the Christians, the apostates that don't want this. It ain't good news for those who turn away from this. by the death of his son. Man, that is as plain as you can get. The word reconciled means to be restored, to change someone from one condition to another. This is the power of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. How does that happen? God changes us from one condition to another inside. The old is out, gone, and the new is in by the death of his son. He said, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That refers to his whole life. Everything he did. Coming to be born of a virgin, living 33 and a half years, sinless, spotless, the Lamb of God, going to the cross, being crucified, buried, and 3 days later raised up from the dead. And right now the Bible says he's seated by the right hand of the Father in glory and power. That's his whole life. That was his whole purpose, and it was to save us. Look, to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, to make you righteous who were once an enemy of God. People today don't like to hear somebody talking about people being enemies of God. I made a post on Facebook, I don't know, this morning. I wrote something. Some guy come on and made a negative, some type of comment. Why are you saying something negative? I just deleted it. We live in a generation where everybody, it's all positive. They said, you're not very positive. You know, stuff you say, I wanted to say a lot, but I didn't say anything. I just thought, well, if you love the truth and you love the Word of God, everything ain't always positive. There's some negatives in this world. And that's the problem. They don't want the negatives. We just want the positive. I'm going to tell you something. Your battery, your car battery's got a positive and a negative. And if you take either one of them off, the car don't start. You got to have both of them plugged up to get the power. You hear me? I'm going to tell you got to have the negatives and you got to have the positives. If you're going to live for the Lord, you better get ready for some negatives with your positives. It's just the way it is. But everybody today is positive. And if you say anything that's negative, that's scriptural, you're looked at like, well, you're just not being positive. You're not being nice. Was Jesus nice in Matthew? Was Jesus positive in Matthew chapter 23? When he was turning over tables? When he was saying, woe to you, you snakes, you brood of vipers, you whitewash. You to build and garnish the tombs of the prophets and make your boast about what you are, and you say, oh, if it would have been our day, we would not have killed anybody. He said, you are children of those people. You're just like them. You'd kill the prophets just like they did. Was that positive or negative? I'm going to tell you, religious people don't like it when you tell them the truth. The truth is the truth. And you can't, I ain't changing God's word. I'm not going to change what it says because somebody thinks that it ought to be said in a more positive manner and it shouldn't sound negative. Again, God is positive and he's negative. Look, the positive side of salvation is you go to heaven. The negative side is you reject Jesus Christ, you go to hell. Positive and negative. It's truth. But people don't want to hear this today. He said, we shall be saved by his life. I'm going to go to the last verse. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Joy. Anybody need some joy tonight? Joy in God. You need the joy of the Lord. How are you going to get it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go again. Back to the cross. Because this is where our joy comes from. My joy comes from what Jesus did at the cross. My salvation, my freedom, my victory comes from what Jesus did through Jesus Christ. He said, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've been reconciled to God. We've been restored. We've been changed. We've been bought by His blood. That's what the atonement is. It speaks of Jesus' life, what Jesus did for us. He is reconciled. He brought us back. Man fell through Adam and the serpent, that old devil, who manipulated God's people into disobeying His word. But Jesus, the last Adam, Paul said, the last Adam, what the first Adam lost, he said the last Adam won it back. Jesus is the last Adam. He ain't the first one. The first one failed. Jesus, the last Adam, Paul said, He reconciled us. He brought us back to God. He brought man to God, back to God. If you're away from God today, good news, you can come back through Jesus. If you're lost watching me tonight and you don't know God, good news, Jesus died. He atoned. He shed His blood. He sacrificed Himself on the cross. It wasn't an accident. It was foreordained from the foundation of the world that He would go to the cross, give His life to bring you to God, to bring you into a relationship with God Almighty. What the first Adam lost, the last one restored it. You see, God didn't leave mankind hanging. God could have stopped right there and said, yep, devil got him. He caused my people to fall. Now sin is entering into the world and nothing I'm going to do about it. I just want to let everybody destroy themselves. I'll let everybody just self-destruct. Since sin now is entered into the earth, and I'll sit up here and I won't worry about it. I just let them all go on their own. No, He said, no, I love my creation so much. I've already got a plan in motion. Going to be a few thousand years, but I got a plan in the making. And at the appointed time, I'm going to send my Son to die on the cross to restore what the devil has stolen. And He did it. He's reconciled us by the death of His Son. Stand to your feet tonight. We're going to pray in closing. I hope you've been blessed tonight. You're watching. Listen, if you're watching, by some reason you're lost without God, all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, into your life, and repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. That's it. You don't have to go to church to do it. You don't have to go get baptized to do it. You open your heart. You ask Jesus to come in. You ask God to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you in His blood. You just talk to Him. You ask Him. And when you do, He answers. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for Your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody watching tonight, or who will be watching later, that is lost without You, whose life is turmoil, that darkness is trying to overtake, I pray, God, that You touch them tonight. I pray that You speak to them. I pray that You convict them. I pray that You deal with them. Lord, I pray that You will draw them by Your Spirit to cry out to You, and Lord, to fall on their knees to ask for forgiveness. And Lord, You said, if we would, You will. And I pray tonight for every person in this place, Lord, that we all come to the understanding of what this message really means, so we can be productive. We can be used of You in a greater way to reach others. We ask You to go with us tonight. Watch over us, protect us, Lord, until we come together again on Sunday morning. Keep us, protect us, watch over us, guide us, and lead us. Bring someone to us, Lord, to witness to this week. Put people in our path to tell about Jesus Christ. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Come back to church.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.